Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 43.
No thank you. Get it? Because I didn't like this week's episode, so no thank you. Get out of my face, and it's a pun. Get it?
To be fair, I didn't know his name was Q.
Neither did I. I actually don't know anybody's names on that show. I still refer to Drive and Girl as Guy and Girl. Her name's... It's like Kiki or something. It's like, I know it's like, it's really like fast, like it may, it's not Kiki, but it sounds like it.
What?
Kiki, Jerome, she's Star Manning, but then they had to recast her because of Prospect Park, and then they recast her again because she quit.
Prospector?
Yes! Anyway, Kamen Rider Drive starring Kiki Jerome will be coming up later. And the guy with the hair and the crooked bracelet. Seriously, it bothers me that the Drive bracelet is crooked. Like, I know it sort of serves a purpose, but no, it doesn't, because it should be straight. Like, I just want to straighten it out so badly. I'm straighter than that bracelet. That sounded really weird. That's a really weird sentence. I'm straighter than that bracelet.
So, one-ups.
This is going to be the tone for this week. Nothing happened this week at all.
Brian got naked with a donkey.
See, like I said, nothing. Just nothing out of the ordinary. This has gone on a while.
I genuinely have nothing to say.
Awkward silence. Yep. I dimmed it.
We have to set the mood of the nothingness that happened this week.
I am waiting for the TK Dead Heat and the...
Kari Dead Heat? Damn it, I always make that joke, and I'm sorry.
What? Okay.
No, TK and Kari.
The Ninja Action Hero figures to get here. Those finally shipped. HLJ took their sweet-ass time again. But seriously, other than that, I've got nothing. Like, this week, folks.
That's pretty much me, except for my amazing vending machine story. I mean, my Ninja vinyls arrived from AmiAmi because I ordered them first before I realized AmiAmi wasn't selling Toku toys anymore. Really, they're just kind of doing it as a side business now. But that was really it.
Sad, but true.
My amazing vending machine story. Okay, here we go. This is how exciting this week's going to get. We're kicking off with a vending machine story. Okay, so I go to the vending machine, right? And I was all about them Doritos. And so I put my money in, and I type the number in, and it says, like, the little thing that'll say coins, it says, make a different choice. But here's the thing. I put in the numbers, and I put in the numbers for Cheetos by mistake. So I was like, whoa, good looking out. So then I put in the numbers for Doritos, and it says, make a different choice. So I'm like, the hell? So I cash out, and it gives me all coins, so it's like I'm gambling. So I put the coins back in, thinking, like, if I put coins in exclusively instead of a dollar bill, it'll help. And then I try for the Doritos again, make a different choice. I'm like, all right, fine, the cheddar potato chips, make a different choice. I'm like, what is this about? Like, and everything's fully stocked. I'm like, are you trying to get me to be healthy? You don't have any healthy options. This is chips and donuts. The healthiest option is the double mint gum. So I eventually just left. That's how that story ends, but that's never happened to me before. Like, I thought the make a different choice thing was hilarious because it makes it seem like it's trying to correct your life, but, like, it refused me service on, like, everything. I just wanted some chips. I was hungry.
Well, nothing will correct Dawson's life.
This story is about as exciting as my life will ever get. Like, this just sums up the tone of my lifetime. But
that is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That's pretty much it. I mean, the almost as exciting was that lady that came outside said, Raita, when she was talking about a lighter, and I said, Yellow Owl, but she didn't get it. So that's what makes it just below the vending machine story. If she would have gotten it, it would rival the vending machine story. But that's pretty much it. Yes, it would. The old lady had more character development than Jetman because she would have cared if her fiancé died.
Truth.
You don't know her life.
Did it so much better. They brought it up every episode and nobody ever canoed. Anyway, that's it for me.
Looks like we're already to me. Well, today I received my Sonic and Mega Man amiibos from Matthew. We're going high class.
Are we talking about high, or is it like someone actually named Matthew?
No, Matt. But
I assumed that like on his birth certificate it just says Matt. Are we even sure his name is Matthew? There's some holes in your story.
You're right. I don't know. I'm assuming. But yeah, so he sent me amiibos again.
He's your amiibo dealer.
He really is. Let's see. I think last week I talked about getting Ninja stuff, so that's a thing. Or did I?
World will never know.
You didn't have them yet because you were still yelling at us.
Oh, my stuff got here then. Shurikenjin.
That was a nail biter.
Shurikenjin's really cool. I like him. And I got my sword and my vinyls and my Dead Heat stuff. So that's all neat. The TK figure is okay. And I went today to Toys R Us, and I was like, all right, I'm bringing all my Dino Charge coupons. I'm going to buy something. And by the time I got there, I'd already spent money on other things that weren't for me. So I was like, I don't feel like buying a Megazord. And then seriously, I'm pretty sure, like, I left the aisle for, like, 10 minutes because we all went. And Kaylee was walking around the store with me. She was like, let's go look for toys. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Well, this is Toys R Us, so you're in luck.
Right? No. Well, such an ass.
That's funny. My mom once called there and asked for the toy department. I found it to be hilarious. I'm like, that's the place. It's Toy Department the movie.
So we're like, okay, let's go look at toys. So we walked around, and then she was like, I'm going to find my mommy. I'm like, okay, so we go look for her mother. And by the time we get back over to that area, which we literally couldn't have been gone more than, like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. Like, and I really don't believe it was like this when I left the aisle. The Dino Charge Megazord had been removed from the box. There's only one left. And flipped upside down and put back in the box. And the charger was gone. Like, the person stealing it couldn't even be bothered to put it back in correctly.
Couldn't they have, like, just taken the whole Megazord with them? Like, come on. Like, I'd love to see the footage of that. It seems so frantic.
They probably did it right as they were, like, announcing their hourly safety walk or something. Like, oh, fuck, the fuzz is coming. And, like...
Am I the only one who's, like, Toys R Us people are, like, annoyingly, not friendly, but, like, they always ask you if you need your help. Like, as soon as you, like, remotely make eye contact with them, they, like, beeline for you, like, you need help. I'm like, well, now I'm never buying from you again because you spoke to me. As soon as an employee speaks to me, I don't want to buy from them anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty... It makes me uncomfortable. I'm like,
it's got to be policy. Ours,
like, do you need help? Like that during the holidays. Because that's the only time, like, sales matter.
It's always the holiday here in Redacted that I've mentioned numerous times. But we're apparently going to be selling weed at KFC now. I heard that from somebody that doesn't live here. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard that too.
I just think that's funny that I heard about it from somebody that doesn't
live here. KFC got a permit to sell weed in Colorado.
It'll make it easier to try it now.
Yeah, can I get a double issue sandwich, two drumsticks, and some pot?
Can you put some weed in my milkshake? Do they sell milkshakes at KFC?
I guess KFC figured their biggest demographic is black people who also like weed. Like,
they just watched the movie Friday and were like, we got this. That's actually how KFC was started. It was founded on the movie Friday, and then they decided to partner up with Pizza Hut and stuff after they watched Next Friday. But then they stopped making those stores after the Friday After Next or whatever it was called.
When did they pick up Taco Bell?
Taco Bell does whatever they want. They just... Undercover Brother. There. That was Taco Bell. It was the war on mayonnaise.
Got it.
I don't know why Beast matters into this.
Beast.
But Beast. It's the war on mayonnaise.
Oh. Gotcha. Gotcha. The word gotcha is forever.
And so I was looking at my Toys R Us, and I was like, okay, well, here's a Legacy Saba and Tiger Joy, but I don't want to spend that kind of money tonight. I'm not, you know, I still have bills to pay. I just need some kind of crack to hold me over. And so I was like, well, let me get this Raptor Zord. And I was going to get the Raptor, and there was only one left. It's like, cool.
Then you left for another minute, and then a crackhead stole that one, too.
No,
except he stole the Raptor's jaw instead of the charger. Holy crap, that would be amazing.
I picked it up and looked at it, and there was, like, some paint missing on one of his claws. I was like, nope, can't buy this. It's defective.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up all those ones and paint them and put them back. See, people take pictures of that.
Like, that kind of thing bothers me. So I ended up just buying the cycle with the Red Ranger because that's the only cycle they had. They had three of them, which was good because I didn't have to make a choice. If they had to make a choice, I would have just been there. I'd still be there trying to decide on which one to buy.
I wouldn't have made it tonight, guys.
I'd still be at Toys R Us trying to decide on which cycle. Do I want blue? Do I want red? Maybe black. I don't know.
Do I want Backwards Hat Lad or the other ones?
Caveman.
Coda and the guy. He has a skin, darker skin.
Tyler?
Yes. Tyson. No, I'm just kidding. Go out. Wow. Wait, is that Pepperidge Farm or Tyson? I don't know. I don't know my meat slogans tonight, guys.
Go Meat was...
Hillshire Farm.
Hillshire Farm. Go Meat.
Go Meat. Yes, there we go.
That's what Dawson says every night. It's like, go Meat. Know,
speaking of meat, which has nothing to do with the segue, I wonder if like the people in like any community that collects cards go around on the forums and take pictures every time cards are stolen. Because like before this Ranger Key Dino Charger thing, like I all the time saw Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, baseball, whatever cards are in there, there's like guaranteed 99% of the time to be one thing ripped open and stolen, or like the card magazines that come with an exclusive promo are always ripped open, and like it was just a thing. And I wonder if they have like the crime club on it. Like I don't know what the hell is with the fan of the like, oh god, investigators. I'm like, good job, you're more annoying than the thieves. I'm rooting for the thieves now. Congratulations.
Every time I buy a Yu-Gi-Oh manga, I check it because I'm like, I want the card. And almost always, like, half of them are missing the cards.
Like, I wonder if they have a crime club, too. But, like, we're a really crappy crime club that does nothing about it but whine. Like, we'd be terrible police officers. Like, take pictures of the murder and just, like, bitch about it. And then never solve it. And just keep taking pictures of murders, but then never solve them.
This guy died. Can you believe it? This is the worst.
What's this world coming to? I hope they don't do that next season.
Jesus. One walks away.
There should be a show.
I hope next time Bandai makes those guns harder to get a hold of, so this doesn't happen again.
Seriously, no, the open packaging makes it easier for you to murder. What has happened?
You know, the one time I didn't check, I bought a manga without a card. I was so upset.
Boom. This is another completely random thought, but what if Joan Calamezzo did a spinoff with the Gosei Morpher that was gotcha, gotcha, gotcha? What was that called? The Tensoder. There we go. I almost called it the Tenso Morpher. You know, because, you know, gotcha, got the gotcha girls and then whatever. Superhero Tyson 5, Joan Calamezzo, and the Tensoder.
You know what I find funny is that...
Go to Las Vegas.
Zexal has less volumes than 5Ds and GX.
Even though it got more episodes. I don't know if it got more episodes than GX. It got more than 5Ds, though.
I don't know, but it got less manga volumes, I'm pretty sure.
I was like... This weekend, I caught a rerun on Nicktoons, and I had no idea what was going on. Everything was batshit crazy. Nobody had mouths. They were like in some sort of space dimension, and Astral, and Yuma did like the fusion dance, but then it went wrong, and they were in each other's like staircases, and there was like he was fighting a guy without a mouth. I don't know what was going on. No idea. Like, I'm sure it would be strange if I knew what was going on, but it's even especially strange if you pop into Yu-Gi-Oh! Randomly and see them fighting guys with no mouths.
Especially Zexal. Zexal was just weird, because I actually watched most of it until it like, went off of TV with new episodes or something like that. Like, it was... I couldn't follow it half the time.
I don't know. I still need to catch up on the other one, Arc 5B.
I gotta finish the other series that are not the original.
Capsule Monsters.
I'm not watching that shit.
You evolve a lot of Pokemon.
I really do. I just evolve both Nidoran.
It happens to always be when we're recording.
It actually happens all the time, because that's all I do is I walk around all day with this damn thing. I was walking around Toys R Us with it.
Bro, you evolved.
I evolved the Chinchou in Toys R Us.
You were playing Pokemon when you were playing Lookout for Me during my double date fiasco at Morphicon.
I was. That was a fun fiasco. You fucking whore.
You know, that's right. That's a good way to end the one-ups. Straight into the non-news. This just in. Nothing. Back to you, Bird.
Yeah, there's legitimately no news this week.
Not a real newscaster.
Here's news. I read this thing today when I was at work that said after doing after some kind of study involving like something like 20,000 measurements, the average penis size is 5.16 inches.
That's very relevant to Toku News. It's actually probably more relevant than Toku News.
Just thought I'd put that out there for all
our
the ladies in the audience.
Season 6, penis news in the craziest way possible. Actually, that is this show.
My penis news.
Well, speaking of measurements, now it's time for...
superhero time. Ninja. We're doing that every week.
Is that a banjo now? Like,
I'm committed.
The country show.
Kamen Rider Drive. Start your engines.
This week was more like clown time than superhero
time.
Fuck
off, you whore.
We're starting superhero time at 17 minutes in. So this might be a record. I'm not sure. But...
might be. We're going to end in 3 minutes. We're going to finish quick. Right after that size story, we're going to set another record.
No, we're going to hit the down charge discussion at like 30 minutes and then finish the down charge discussion at
Charles
an hour
Carmichael
and 30 minutes.
Always comes quickly. I live by that.
Oh, I bet you do.
Anyway, so Drive this week was about the guy from Tokyo-Jer.
You're doing it out of order. What is your problem?
Wait, do we do Ninja first? Well,
yes.
We did it first that one time and it fucked me up. Okay.
You
Tokyo-Jer,
fucking moron.
Hold on. The show. Ninja was about the guy from Tokyo-Jer. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, well, Ninja was also obnoxious this week.
I enjoyed Ninja this week. I really found it hilarious when everything kept hitting Shiro Ninja, because I don't know her name.
Fuka, you should know that one.
Oh yeah, Fuka. Fuka you.
She ain't no Kiki.
Everything kept hitting fuck you in the head. And I just find that kind of thing funny because I have a child point of view.
See, I was annoyed by that sequence because I'm not a fan of the Balkan skull. Oh no, you got a pie to the face humor, except it was whatever the hell they were getting hit with.
Like it
was like the Ninja Storm training sequences, but really lame because nobody was like flying in the air and shooting air at each other. That seems really redundant. Take this, more air.
I found it funny. I liked just the whole thing with the dojo. I love that was kind of cool.
What's up with a guy that refuses to not turn his earring towards the camera? What's his name? Blue.
Yakumo.
Yes, Johan.
Call him Cloud.
He just, like, casually mentions that he goes to magic school.
He's not you a Final Fantasy character.
You just don't casually mention that you go to magic school.
And then apparently it wasn't Hogwarts, because Hogwarts is in Scotland, I was told today. And I was told, but I read on the Twitter today that Hogwarts is in Scotland.
5 points to Hufflepuff.
I didn't know that. I just assumed those were all the same place over there.
Probably went to just the coven that helped Willow after she went evil.
It's close enough. Japan doesn't know any better.
They really don't.
Japan doesn't know any better should be their slogan. Like, they're now entering town sign, but just for the whole place, should be now entering Japan. They don't know any better.
Japan knows as much geography as Dawson.
Look, we already made maps. It's not going anywhere. I don't need to memorize it.
But in any case,
and if it goes somewhere, we'll make note of it.
I like the grandpa, how he just fucks with him. I didn't say he fucks them.
This is a follow-up to my alleged Magi Ranger scandal.
You and your incest. God, he's so really into the incest, Brian. Can we drop him from the show? Is that possible?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Thanks for the support, Brian. Brian really went to bat for me this week when he went,
Drop him? Meh. Okay. But yeah, I liked Drago Shurikenjin. I thought he was kind
of
cool.
I like the suit. It's just kind of like this weird sort of clunky thing that kind of waddles around.
I just kind of wish that it's more effort was into it. Like, Magic Dragon was so cool. And then this one happened. I like how in the transformation sequence, it's clear that they just cut the normal transformation sequence because Shinobi Maru sat down really quick and then got back up. Like, it's clear that they, like, didn't, like, you know what, we don't need to make a new sequence for that. Let's just edit it. He'll be like, oh, whoops, sorry, bro. Took your seat. But this episode, though, for me, it was just so much redonkulous stuff too quickly. It was just too much.
That's the show, basically.
See, I loved the complete insanity.
This is like, you have to, on the first couple dates, you gotta lie about how awesome you are. You can't immediately be an idiot. I'm gonna dump you quickly.
Words for me.
But, I don't know, like, it's not like I hated it. It's just too goofy too fast. There was parts I liked, like, I kinda liked the idea of Earring Lad, who's gonna get a spinoff with Backwards Hat Lad in my headcanon. Not caring about being a ninja, but being really good at it anyway, and just being like, hey, I'll surpass you just because I'm bored. But just, I don't know, there's just too many gags in this episode. The gagging is for later. That's the third act.
Oh, God.
So everyone knows the deep throating in Sentai is in the third act.
Now, where does Orange Backpack Lad fit into this?
Who is that? That sounds really familiar. Orange Backpack Lad. Oh, Wizard! Shoot, Pepe! It's all coming back to me.
God, it's all coming
back. I named the guy I knew in high school Beady Beady Lad. I had really weird nicknames for everybody in high school.
We can tell.
Brian, what did you think?
I'm kind of in between. There wasn't really anything that I hated. I agree that it was really sort of off the wall, but I very much expect that out of this show. Mm-hmm. Just looking at everything, I'm like, there's a very rare chance that this is going to be a serious show. And with that in mind, I kind of figured that going into it.
See, I think that's part of why I liked it, is that I went into it going, okay, this show is going to be redonkulous, and then it met my expectations.
Well, see, I didn't expect it to be serious, but I was kind of hoping for a balance.
They're
not doing it very well right now.
It's only two episodes. I think it could get there.
Nope, it's dead to me.
Okay.
There was never going to be a balance.
So I don't know. Exactly, but yeah, like I said, there wasn't really anything that I absolutely hated. I really liked their techniques. even the pot one, the not like Colorado pot.
KFC.
Oh god.
But the pans rather, the pans.
That shit was hilarious.
They spammed fire quite a bit, which I think is probably what they're going to end up doing most of the time, just because it's such an easy effect. But
and it's fun. Who doesn't want to shoot fire at someone?
It is.
I feel like
that was how the Fire Nation got out of control.
I feel like
someone said, "Who doesn't want to shoot fire at someone?" And the next thing you know, 100-year war.
I feel like this ninja is Anakin Skywalker at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and Dawson is Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's like, "You were supposed to bring balance to the insanity, not join them."
And the ninja is like burning alive, screaming, "Oh,
something like that, yeah.
Poor ninja's already burning alive after 2 episodes.
Meanwhile,
genitals were burned up on Mustafa.
Meanwhile, Tokuger is Palpatine. Just completely bad shit insane. I'm fine with that analogy.
And ninja is like, I feel like with its, even before the show happened, is like the king of mixed signals. Like sometimes when you see a show or the Sentai suits before it starts, like Tokuger, you could tell by their suits, you know this is going to be silly. Ninja has like sick awesome suits, but everything else surrounding it looks like it was designed by a 5-year-old. It's like it's such big signals that I don't know what's happening to me half the time.
I like the fact that the Gamma juice are the like a little like alert system.
That's their samurai table, except they're just frogs yelling at you.
I liked the Gamma Jew doing that. I also like when they put the shuriken on it and just do the finisher strong attack with the Gamma Jew. And it just shoots out its Greninja tongue.
I love that sound so much.
I thought that was fantastic. I love the insane. I love that there's just nothing is coherent in this show. Everything is just something completely different and random. And looks and sounds and acts insane. And then we got to see at the end, the cat lady revived Kenji Matsuda.
I got boner.
I fully got boner. Quote of the episode. Not even a boner. I fully got boner. Your next t-shirt. We got your t-shirt.
I'm so
how did that make sense?
I was like, is that him? That's him.
He wasn't even naked, though.
No, not yet.
It's been so long, his voice just does it for me.
Oh god.
That's what Brian said.
But I liked we got the opening credits, right? You know, the whole opening sequence. It was pretty cool. I liked how when they show the villains, only the cat lady was not silhouetted, shadowed. Since the rest of them haven't really been seen yet.
Yeah, it's always cool when they do that. I'm curious now that Kenji Matsuda's revived if they're going to insert Shurikenshin Drago into the opening at all.
Yeah, like insert him, Shurikenshin Drago, or if they wait until like Pound Maru is revealed.
Pound
Maru. Pound my Maru. And Ufo Maru.
It was fun. I'm not necessarily gonna say it was good, but it was fun to me. It met my fun expectations. I wouldn't really necessarily say it met my storytelling expectations, but it did what I was expecting it to do.
And then I noticed he's referred to as the first spear of the I don't know what the fuck they call it, Jakandra or whatever the fuck.
Talking about his penis.
Not Jakandra.
I know, that's the bit.
No, I mean, like, that's their name. It's called Not Jakandra. They can make the name.
But that's something like, well, I'm wondering, you know, how many bad guys we're going to get? Are we going to get 7?
I would imagine.
You know, to do, like, a full callback to Hurricane Derf.
We're going to get Derf bad guys.
I fucking hate you and your Derf.
We're going to get Derf bad guys. Maybe even Derf Dean.
It's not Derf. It's Nerf or nothing.
No, it's Derf or nothing. Derf or nothing was born today, everyone. I can't believe that pun's never been made before. But today.
So I'm really excited. I'm excited to see what they do with this show, because it could be anything at this point. I like watching them train and just be retarded. I like how, you know, the dad slash uncle, depending on which character you are, is trying to train them, and like, you don't know anything about being a ninja. Why the fuck are you training us? God damn it.
I got manuals.
Yeah. He's got textbooks, and Grandpa just keeps leaving. He's like, fuck this shit, I'm leaving. I'm out. I did my fight. I'm away from you guys. Leave me alone. I'm old.
I'll toss you a bone every now and then, but honestly, just let me be. I'm going to go back to Florida.
And he's like, and for the ladies, I'll toss you a boner every now and then. Oh.
Still going back to Florida. You can find me there regardless of bone or boner.
Bone or not, I'm going back to Florida.
But yeah. So that should be fun. Donkey boners?
That's a sign.
That's a sign.
That's the universal sign for we're done here.
Donkey boners always put a stop to everything. Everybody knows that.
It is. It stopped our car one time.
Speaking of cars,
that's because you were staring at it.
Drive. See, it all ties together. Donkey boners, cars, it's all connected.
Bonsly!
Yes, Bonsly too. He's also there. So Drive this week also featured lewd content. So the guy from Tokyuger was finally explained that there's two of them. So one of them was in Tokyuger, and one of them was in Drive, and one of them was a Roy Mude. So see, mystery solved. They wanted to explain this, and they did. Like, most of this episode I found obnoxious because he was on screen a lot, and he has like the over the top facial expressions and obnoxiousness. And the thing that annoyed me was that essentially the message, or at least I thought of the episode, was, hey, a Roy Mude can be good. Oh, maybe that means Chase can be good. Didn't we already do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
It's like, the other one didn't turn out.
They needed to reconfirm it because he's bad again, so they needed to repeat.
I mean, sure, this one turned out better where the Roy Mude actually was good, except it seemed like he was just more interested in anime than evil. But, wow, that's Toku in a nutshell. So terrible all the shows are, but it just seems so repetitive. I think the thing is that what I think they should have done is it seems like they're almost stalling. Like, they wanted to get Chase's story done, but like the executives are like, oh, our story doesn't come out until April, so you got to stall for time. So I feel like instead
I
of introducing
that.
Anybody? Wow, I don't even know how it happened. But I think instead of introducing Mach first, they should have focused the first arc of Drive on Chaser and had him come in first as the second writer and then devoted time to Mach, because you still would have gotten toys accordingly. But it makes the pacing feel so awkward. Like, it would have felt so much more natural to have Chase's storyline and then introduce Mach a little bit after that and had him be the April guy, because it's just right now it really does feel like they're stalling for time, because the whole mind control thing is like a classic stall for time tactic, especially with the purple context. But it's just because I'm interested in his story and I like it, but it's the way it's presented is so stretched out, and him comedically stopping people at libraries. I don't know. It's just so awkwardly handled.
I can agree with exactly what you said. It does feel like that sometimes, this episode in particular. The sole purpose of this episode was basically to go, yeah, Roid Mutes can be good, even though we've done this already. Oh, look at Medic. She's a bitch. She's the new Grim Reaper. Stabby, stabby. And that's about the extent of the episode.
And she actually did go stabby, stabby when she did it. She did. Said those.
That's what my subtitle said. I don't know about your guys. But
Overtime really just kind of does their own thing sometimes. But we did get to see her her Roid Mute evolved form. So that's the thing that happened. I don't know what else. I guess it was okay. The police people were heavily involved.
They should be fired.
I did slightly find it slightly humorous at the end when they were like, who's going to write the report on this? And Shinosuke and Kiriko were like, we're just going to go.
I'm like, out.
Because that's completely what I would do.
I
just sneak out.
I can't type fingers and...
I can't type fingers. Type fingers.
Like, I would just completely...
Type fingies.
Exactly. Just sneak my way out the house, or out the office, and be like, fuck this, I'm going.
You know, something I noticed is, well, maybe with the exception of Technic not being used as much, but I thought they've done a pretty good job of balancing the form changes, but they don't hardly ever use tire changes anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was like, just thinking about that, because Igalardo usually puts all of the transformations in each episode onto the album art. And so, like, I look at these every week and I go, okay, they became wild. Alright. Okay, next episode. Okay. He became wild again. Oh, you use Rumble Dump. Okay, there's one. There's one. Huh. And it just, it's never, like, it's the core mechanic of the show. And it's being very... very underutilized. I agree the distribution of forms is doing okay, especially with Wild. Technique is very underused, but I think because it's such a clunky suit that...
And it's very specific situation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's a very situational sort of form, so they don't really end up using it probably to what they could probably do with it, but... And so, like, I'm glad he isn't always jumping to Dead Heat right away. And hopefully he won't jump straight to Formula when he gets that. Apparently next episode.
Yeah.
But the tire changes, like, legitimately dropped off the map. Like, we get, like, maybe one an episode if we're lucky.
Use Dead Heat Flare.
Yeah. So, like, that was something I didn't even know was going to be possible. Like, I was looking at it, I was like, well... I feel like we probably would have heard something by now if that was possible. I know the toy can do it. But I'm like, I don't know if they're going to do it in the show. So I imagine he could probably use the signal bikes maybe too if he wanted to. I don't know if that would do anything helpful or not.
It just seems annoying. Like you said, it is the main gimmick of the show. And we see the cars a lot.
And what gets me is that these ones, most of these are actually legitimately helpful.
Yeah.
And they don't get used a whole lot.
You mean like how Drive? Yeah, Drive. Wait, this is Drive. How like Forza's powers, most of them were just kind of stupid and then didn't get used. But like these are actually something. And I didn't even notice it mostly because I was focusing on things like Dead Heat and Formula until y'all mentioned it. And it really is annoying because you just feel like they would know by now. Like, I mean, I guess... Yeah, they're like toy sales because that's kind of the bit. But to just at least use a few of these because it's not like a Gotta Carry Boss situation where all of them are some kind of big CG budget, you know, kind of form change where we really can't use it like we like because money. Like most of them, it's just a giant prop, a massive monster, or, you know, even you know Dream Vegas if he doesn't use the final attack. It's, you know, it's just a prop, something he beats you with.
Right.
Which, I mean, I guess is why he tends to use Rumble Dump more, because it's just a big drill and he can go stab, stab. But, I don't know.
Well, they used it a lot in, like, the first handful, which was at least made for some entertaining fights, which is what I liked about it, is it kind of varied up his techniques. Puns.
Yeah, it would.
So in that regard, I think it's definitely a shame. And, like, Mach uses his all the time, but all his doer changed the way his Zenran shoots.
It just changes his sticker, so it's not as fun.
Yeah.
So it's great that he keeps using them, but it's
but even
not
then,
fun.
And even then, 90% of the time, he's just using Magaru.
Yeah.
It's like saying Drive does it because he uses Max Flair. Like, well, we expect you to. But so that's the thing, and I don't even. And then once he gets Formula,
there's no telling how much he's actually going to use of his forms, of those three things that he's got there after a certain point.
Yeah, I get questioned because I forgot to mention this earlier in the news, but the second premium TK release is those three.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that too.
Makes no sense to me at all. Like, it formula's core component are these three little arm tire things that he can use, and you're not going to include them with the damn toy. What's wrong with it? And the toy isn't any cheaper either.
Fix yourself.
It's the same fucking price, and I'm like, he's not like he's hugely armored or anything. He's got like a little bit of a formula race car boob going on over here, but like outside of that, it's not like he's a giant figure or something to warrant the price. I don't know what your problem is, Bandai, but get your shit together. I'm really pissed about that.
They really do work in mysterious ways.
They really do.
They're like Jesus, but less helpful. Like, they have such random, like, practices. Like, I'd love to see, like, any of the, like, logic or numbers or whatever behind certain decisions behind, like, what becomes premium, what hat they're using to draw figure arts out of. Like, they just seem to behave at random.
They really do. There's no rhyme or reason. They say, okay, what would people like us to do? Okay, well, they'd like us to release this. All right, that's what we're not going to do. Like, they specifically come up with what they don't want to do first and then do something different. Just to be total douchebags. But, yeah, Drive, like, the fights are good. I just wish he'd used his abilities more. I don't know. I mean, it was cool watching him use the dead heat tire to, like, push back the energy blast from Medic. Or whatever he did with it, I don't know. And that bitch took
whatever
her
he
a
did,
little.
Don't ask me.
Whatever he did, I mean, I watched it, but whatever. And then that bitch took she took her little minions and like sacrificed them to save herself because she's a whore.
Like, oh, I'm developing them as my new Reapers. Sacrifices them. Welp.
Back to the drawing board.
This bitch cut me, gotta kill him now.
Well, that was fun while it lasted, okay. Like, melts in your mouth, not in your hand, motherfucker.
What? This sounds gross.
The M&M slogan.
Oh, that's a dirty slogan.
You've never heard that before?
No, I just heard M&M's and I was like,
You did and then not. I you did not grow up in the 90s then.
Thank God.
Yeah, like all these commercials. The melts in your mouth, not in your hand. And it was like one
the only thing I remember from the commercials is the two CGI M&Ms like doing shit. And then like Santa's in there and Christmas and they're like, they do exist. And they've been airing that every year since the beginning of time.
Like they'd have all the little M&Ms and they'd like be like a playground swinging and like they jump into like the thing that covers them in candy and like melts your mouth, not in your hand. Like, you don't remember anything like that at all?
Yeah, but if you hold them long enough, they turn your hands colors. So what kind of scandal is that?
Well, no, the chocolate doesn't melt. The candy coating melts.
Well, it's a technicality. They put that in the commercial being like, except for the candy coating, lol. Well, hashtag rainbow hands.
The chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Not the candy coating. They don't mention anything about that because they know better. That red number 40 die is pretty strong.
Well, then put 39 in there. It sounds weaker.
But,
that was a discussion.
Yep.
I find it funny that Droid Mute, little nerdy guy, knows that Shinosuke is Drive, but regular little nerdy dude does not. Like,
Droid
I would have thought, like...
Droid Mute was a little bit smarter.
Like, but...
Well,
like,
now he's dead, so...
Like, when I get stabbed, that... But, like, I guess my thing was that this was going to be a show, and it still might happen, where little by little, the other people at the police station are going to become aware of him being Drive.
I don't want them to, though. I want them to leave.
And
then if they become aware, then they get led into the lair. We don't want them in the lair.
No,
we don't need them in the Scooby Gang. They don't deserve it.
I want them to leave too, but I also am intelligent enough to read, at least look at where the show appears like it's going to go. And that's how it appeared when Scientist Chick was like, oh yeah, by the way, I know about you because I developed your gear. So that's kind of where it looked like it was headed, is that they're all going to slowly, you know, find out who he is. And it seemed like the perfect opportunity, if they were going to do that, at least they still might, to introduce Nerdy Guy to it because of the whole situation with the Roid Mute. And so I was kind of surprised that when at the end of the show, he still did not know, you know, who he was. And it's Venonat's turn. And
Venonat's actually what the dude looks like.
He actually kind of does. So that's fun. My Venonat evolved into Butterfree. Wait, what?
That's how it's supposed to be.
All right. Damn Tootin.
Darn Tootin.
Your mom's a whore.
Damn Tootin. It sounds like it's like another Deep Toot reference waiting to happen. Hashtag Dinkleberg.
Anyway. I hope you die.
Me too. Speaking of Dinkleberg, should we move on?
Yeah,
let's move away from this nonsensical bullshit before it pisses me off to the point where I kill myself and everyone around me.
No sense.
Well, now it's time for Down Chart Discussions with Shuki.
Oh,
wait, who?
Spirit Evolution! Agumon! I don't know. Random Frontier noises. That was uncanny. That's exactly what this theme sounds like.
Exactly.
That's exactly what
I didn't believe for a minute. I thought for a minute you had a toy. Like, that did it.
Did you sing the theme song? Theme song? Can I ever say theme song, right?
Theme song?
Yeah, I can't say it.
That song.
That's also from the Dino Charge theme. It's hidden lyrics. We can play it backwards. It's about thongs.
Cisco just shows up. Like, why?
From Flash?
No, Benjamin Sisko from Deep Space Nine.
I like the other one better.
Because he names things like you?
Yes.
You can bond?
We're kindred spirits.
You can bond. James Bond.
No. Anyway.
Anyway. This episode was all about Coda.
No, it was all about that bass. About that bass. No treble.
It wasn't about Chase. Get it right, Kyle.
And about backwards hat lad. He didn't even wear a hat in this episode. I had no idea who he was. I'm like, who is this Australian guy that keeps following Coda around? What the hell?
Yeah, but as we pointed out, there are kangaroos not in New Zealand, but in Australia. He could not have ridden them.
You don't know their life.
Your mom knows their life.
She have you ever seen the movie Kangaroo Jack?
Yes.
With Anthony Anderson?
Yes.
It's secretly a spin-off of his character from the Transformers movies. Don't talk to me, kangaroo! Don't talk to me! Anyway, this is a Dino Charge discussion, but we had to touch the kangaroo
hey,
first.
The whole cactus!
I think I threw Dom's
the whole
mom
plant. The whole plant!
When I told him he actually saw that movie. Like, he wasn't expecting it.
Everyone should see that movie. It's required. Jackie Legs!
Anyway. It's required listening to the podcast.
Anyway, so
we
this episode, we got a semi-answer to the fact that Coda was frozen, except it didn't
Venonat,
answer it.
Right.
You have to watch it him fall, and then you have to watch the subsequent interview about the fact that he was frozen, but it answers it after you watch the interview. It requires DVD content.
Sounds
but.
Great.
I just want to say I loved this episode, and
it was
I
a giant
loved
Trini reference because Trini was trying to kill that little kid, and he's like, "I don't think so, bitch!" And then he tackled her. That's the reenactment of actually how it happened. The car accident was a cover up for the fact that she was a child murderer. Wow, this is getting worse. I just kept going. I didn't. I said Trixie. I don't even know. See, it all ties to see. Yay!
I'm uncomfortable now, Brian. He's going to get us all fired. We're going to have to issue an apology and. You know, I hate apologizing for things.
They're there.
God damn it. I don't know why the little kid had to be so prominent in the episode, though. He's a little kid who deserved to just not be there. He should have just had the cage fall on him instead of the bike.
That scene, I made a joke about how I would have thrown the kid in front of it. Totally would have done it. But, like, the way it played out, it looked like it, didn't it? Like, he's watching the gate coming in, watching this kid. Like, oh, man, if I just throw this kid, I can get away. That's what it looked like, didn't it?
I thought he was going to, like, push the kid out the way. And like
he should have. Like, he should have pushed him instead of being like, here, come with me. And he just grabbed him. But thankfully, the bike saved him.
Well, he was trying to Zordon it up and just grab the kid and kidnap him.
But it just it seemed very counterproductive. You know what part, like, cracked me up was when I think it was Kendall was carrying him away and, like, he's slow motion said, Coda! Dead. Huh? It was hilarious. Like, it was so over the top. Why did they have to do it in slow motion?
Because slow motion makes everything dramatic.
It was way more dramatic.
Dark and gritty.
I love watching Yoshi try to ride a bike. Like,
Yoshi can drive a cart, so I'm pretty sure I watched him ride a bike in my Mario Kart game, so he's good.
He's a playable character.
I noticed they changed his name to say Yoshi in the opening credits instead of Yashua.
Yeah, they changed
his name to 1 and 2. They said, this is racist. Such an Asian stereotype that they can't pronounce Joshua.
They thought he was Spanish.
They're already coming under heat for their controversial caveman issues.
Oh, my God. That's it, we're all getting fired. This is the end of it, Brian.
It was fun while it lasted.
Was it, though?
This Meowth walks on all fours, and it makes me uncomfortable. I'm sorry. In a world full of strife, we will fight to survive.
Did you mind Adventure on Blu-ray? Isn't that's the real one, though. It doesn't have the English voices, I don't think. No, it's a fake one. Hashtag reverse purist.
I like how this episode was like gave us answers while still being really vague about what happened.
Yeah, like it should have been more clear. Like, I'm sure kids don't care, but like I like that you like I joked at the beginning you have to listen to that interview to get that he was frozen. I mean, from that point of view, he just died and he's a ghost. He fell down a ravine with a mysterious crystal. He was hallucinating. But so how did it happen? Like, was it water and he just fell in it and froze? Or was it ice and he just impacted into it and then it rained on him and it froze? How disturbing is it?
The Energem did something. I don't know what it did. But
actually, what happened was that he fell and then he had to pee. And because he was on his back, it just went everywhere all over him and then froze. So
that
he froze
seems
in his
like
own
the
pee.
Best of the three, Bear Grylls style. but I'm glad that it, between that and then the interview, it was answered. So it does make sense that he didn't pick up any techniques.
I like
of
when
speaking
he smashed Shelby's cell phone. That just
she's the only
happy.
One in the group that got a cell phone. She's like, finally got a cell phone, so we can get contact with each other. Damn it. Like, right after we talked about it last week, too, she went out and she bought one. I need 4G. I got no time for the Edge Network. Coda, Edge Network! He just smashed it. Coda does not like the Edge Network.
I like how his reaction is to hit everything with a stick. Televisions, then, motorcycles, phones, it doesn't matter.
The poor vampire.
He doesn't like Fangilla.
He was like, Borg! Me no like Borg.
Borg, no blast.
Oh, Coda. That scene where he said, we have to look good for the girls, and then he jumped over the bench, that's me, actually. Actual footage of whenever pretty girls come by. I just go, and fall behind a bench. But like, if there's not a bench there, it's really awkward because I have to find a bench, and then sit down, and then jump. But you know, it is what it is.
That joke took too long to set up.
Wait, yeah, but was it worth it? No.
Not really.
But I have no follow-up to this. Our discussion about this episode is completely random. We started with Kangaroo Jack. We ended up at benches. Come on, guys, pull it together.
I mean, it was a really great episode, but I mean, it's nothing like that.
I liked watching the raptor thing. The raptor.
I like how there's no concept of letting other people finish their talking. Right? Like, nope. In the middle of talking, hey, over here. Look at me.
Hey, I like raptors.
and it's always something really funny like that. Like, it's never something in depth. It's always something super surfacey. It's good.
You know what I thought funny? was similarly how I just talked last week about how great it was that they went in and fucking photoshopped everything. They cut to this episode this week, and the fucking banner says Gabutira on the back.
Like, I knew as soon as I saw it, people were going to flip.
Like, oh my god, the editing room failed. They now get an F.
It's so dumb, because the series is founded on forgetting Japanese children in footage. And like, I think some Jew Rangers snuck by, too. It's like,
I know Dan was in a scene at one point.
There was a Jew Ranger in this episode?
For god's sake, the Morphers said Kiryu Sentai Jew Ranger on them for like... half the footage. It's just something that happens. There was something else I feel like that was nipped. Like, that was one thing, was the slip on that. But I can't remember. There was something else that got nitpicked. I wish I could remember what it was.
Was it Yoshi talking again? Because people were like, you know, they're up in arms about that kind of thing.
No, actually, this was like the first time there was no, like, social justice going on.
Yeah.
Good, because I hate social justice. Fuck that shit.
People were just like, oh, abs. Delicious. Right?
Yeah, if Yoshi's going to take his shirt off, I'm going to keep watching.
I love in the interview when he's like, well, I found out it was a caveman, and you can't really study that.
He's pretty funny. But yeah, I like how he just like... saw like the little kid, like his brother, when he was thinking about it. And I wanted to just be like, you know, he's dead, right? Like, he's beyond dust. He's just
beyond
it's
dust.
Been 100,000 years. He's not even a skeleton anymore. He's nothing.
There's not even any records of him. They didn't keep records back then.
Exactly. No one knows he existed but you.
He didn't even really exist.
Sleep now tonight. How's that for you? But I guess I'm just an asshole.
I saw a lot of people, and I felt like this for a little bit too, that it was really strange that the episode went from like such a Coda focus, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, look at Tyler and Riley on bikes.
Yeah. That's happened before on multiple Toku shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, they had to introduce the bikes, but then they made the, you know, the episode on Coda, so we can see how he got the Energem and he get his backstory. And so they had to kind of just like shove it all together in the same time block, and so it kind of just didn't make a whole lot of sense.
What they should have done is like,
okay,
had them drive the bike to Coda and then have Coda have a sick ass action sequence on the beach with the bike. Like, you deserve riding the bike, even though it's gonna make no sense. You learned how to drive this in 3 seconds, but still, like, the training wheel sequence got him trained for the bike. Or he could have just stood near the bike and, like, modeled it. It would have sold. I don't know, but yeah, that is one thing. It's not, like, a huge complaint, but that tends to happen,
like,
a lot.
When you realize that Coda would in no way be able to use the bike yet, and this was the bike's premiere, then you kind of understand it a little bit. I do like how they used Chase getting captured as a way of bouncing around the fact that Ian was not in this episode's footage.
And Chase just kind of hung out for, like, the second half of the episode. He's like, all right, mate, just come back for me. And then he's just, like, gone, chilling, probably, like, playing Candy Crush on his phone or something. And, like, that's what he was doing for the whole time. What was I going to say about something?
I like they go up there at the restaurant.
Too late.
They're at the Dino Cafe, and Miss Racist comes in, and it's just like,
hate
these
crime.
Guys aren't...
Miss Hate Crime, get it right.
Miss Hate Crime comes in, and you guys said like a sassy black woman. Miss Hate Crime comes in, and is and she's like, they're late. And they're like, yeah, that happens. That one guy doesn't have any concept of time. He's like a caveman. And the other one, that's just what he does. He's late. You know, like,
Chase is always late, and Coda doesn't even know what time is.
Like, and I love how she, like, gets him real close and secretive, like, they're not answering their dino comms either. Like, whoa, I'm going to need you to take a step back. You got
try
too close
calling
to me.
Their cell phone.
Have we ever tried getting a family plan? I mean, there's always five rangers. It would be really efficient. How come no one's ever thought of this?
Like, you're really close to me. I'm going to need you to back the fuck up. Like, and this whispering thing you just started doing, that's got to stop. Like, that was fucking weird.
Wait, I almost forgot my point again. Oh, the bikes. Back to bikes. The whole, I mean, we got some mix of original and Japanese footage, but, like, just having them kind of gave me a very Disney-era vibe, just because we haven't had bikes in so long.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time we had bikes, and I really like, we had some really awesome, like, bike fight sequences in the Disney era, where they'd be, like, in the air, just, like, doing a bunch of random tricks on it, just, like, doing the Scottish dances on top of them, firing around. Like, it was, like, crazy shit.
RPM was the last time that there was any sort of bikes involved, and none of them were the Rangers, if I remember
correctly. So it was,
RPM
Jungle Fury then. We had, like, those true bike sequences. Strike Rider, cruise! He said it like that. Lasers!
He got that fancy armor suit.
Yeah, but this seemed to make him heavier. Gave him, like, Batman neck problems.
I'm just upset that we did not get to see the two little dinosaurs and them combine, or a Bannery or anything like that.
I don't know if they're cutting that out or what.
We'll probably see it at some point.
Like, I mean, sure, it's something the toy does, but when do they care about that?
I want to see them, like, wheel out a giant battery. Like, Kendall just be pushing out a giant dino charger that, like, actually goes in the bike like that. Like, it doesn't grow to size. It's actually already at size.
Just click it and these two dinosaurs will come and try to make out around it, and they'll
it's
make
it perfect.
A
it's just, it would be hilarious. It would be a great visual to see.
It'll be great.
Meanwhile, Keeper doesn't bother to show up for this job.
No.
He doesn't need to. He's got lackeys for that.
I feel like Keeper's only going to show up when he needs to explain some sort of important story element.
Just going to poof up.
Yeah, just like, poof up and go, you know, I forgot to tell you.
My laundry is in there. Can you get it out? I only have the one red robe. And as you can see right now, I'm naked. So I got to poof out. And then he majestically walks away naked. But comes back for the dry cleaning later.
Dick flopping in the wind.
That's why Kendall is so mad, because she has to do all of Keeper's laundry.
I would be mad too.
And then after she does all that, he takes his furry red dick and just waves it in her face and is like, take this, please. Do your job, woman.
So I go from laundry to that. This is an incredible amount of steps skipped.
Keeper's over 65 million years old. He just does what he wants. He's old. You can't
really
alive. Complain.
I still wish that there was just... Sledge would have been like, oh, I'm back. And then he's like, who's going to work for me? And then he just finds a bunch of corpses. How are they all still alive? Seriously. Like, there's a lot of monsters that have an unusually high lifespan and a lot of food he's got to get. Who feeds Slade? We're like, who feeds these people?
These alien bitches live long.
Like, seriously.
And prosper.
It's kind of crazy.
I'm so sad now.
There's our reference.
We're required to make one?
Apparently.
Okay.
I didn't
He's in the red universe
now. Said it. Anyway.
I've been trying to forget.
Well, you're the one that said it, so.
I know. Classic Pylo.
Classic Fino.
It's not like it was Little Sebastian, so let's all settle down. Little Sebastian.
I'm just really happy to finally be enjoying the show so much again.
It really is the best Toku on air right now.
That's not saying much, though, unfortunately.
I agree.
There's not a lot of competition.
Not really.
Just saying.
Got two things of competition.
Yeah, and one of them is just starting, so you really can't make an opinion on it. And the other one's Drive.
That's like a category now.
One of them just started, and you can't really form an opinion on it. The other one's Ninja.
I think part of my problem with watching the Japanese shows is that for the past few weeks, I always watch them like after I watch like all the amazing American television, so it pales in comparison. It's like watching Flero, and then you watch it, and I'm like, why do I still watch this? This is like 1/10 the quality.
Yep.
I generally start my week with the Toku, so.
Then you watch Better Call Saul, and Chandler toilet just shits all over it. Some people will get that.
I'm gonna shit all over your mom.
Okay. Whatever floats your boat. Anyway.
What about motorboating her?
Speaking of toilets.
Now it's time for ramble time.
Ramble timelet. It's got a little bit of topics.
Froakie evolved.
Oh yeah.
And there was a Greninja.
So you could see a spoiler alert of what he's gonna be like later.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
That's all Greninja is so awesome.
Greninja is awesome. Greninja.
I don't know when to stop. I don't have much to say about Pokemon. Other than I didn't realize it was an evolution episode. I was sitting there looking at my phone, and all of a sudden he started evolving. I'm like, oh shit, this was actually semi-important. But not really. He's got a different voice now. True story. But on to more important news. So they announced the third DC spinoff, starring everyone ever that you'd never expect. So we got Shaw and half of Firestorm. I'm going to assume the other half's going to be announced. Michael Schofield, Scoldfield, and Sarah.
That's hilarious.
And then, no, it was, that's funny.
Oh, my bad.
And then, apparently some more people that haven't debuted yet. It'll be their first time. I'm definitely excited for it. I love there was a bunch of people like, man, how many spinoffs are they going to do? I'm like, bro, this is the second one. Not to mention, all these properties, existed before it. It's not like it's an entirely original show spinning off into stuff.
And given the fact that Brandon Routh's in it, this could be taking the place of the Adam spinoff, so.
Yeah, so I can't imagine there'd be two of them. So I think it'll be interesting. I'm glad that means he'll be somewhere else. And I don't know what they'll do with her. I kind of hope they just revive Sarah because I missed her and her boobs. Her boobs will be there regardless. But it would seem weird because I imagine that they will do crossovers and stuff. It would seem weird to have her play a completely different character unless she goes all Amy Pond and shaves her head and becomes black. And so they just don't recognize her. I don't think they'll be doing blackface for the DC spinoff. So, I mean, so many things like that happen in the shows. So I think it would be neat. They'll just send Ray Palmer the amulet and she'll come up out of it like Spike did when he revived in Angel. Some people will get that and that's all that matters. But I'm glad she's going to be in it regardless of the form of it. Not everyone at once. Come on, one at a time, guys. I know this is a hot topic, but not the store.
I'm still confused by it.
You know what confuses me the most is not even the dead chick or half of Firestorm. It's Michael Schofield. What the hell is he doing in there? If there was other villains listed, I would get it because I'm like, oh, maybe they're regular villains, but it just seems weird to list the one.
I read that the show is basically taking a bunch of characters that were really popular from the main shows that they couldn't continuously put in the main shows, Captain Cold, for instance, and they decided to put them in a spinoff where they could be a main character in it.
But Captain Cold's one of Flash's main villains, so I always imagine he would just be appearing a lot.
Yeah, well. Now he gets a show with Adam and Black Canary and have a firestorm.
Like, I don't know. Like, I imagine that unless he's got, like, an anklet and he's got to work with them, he'll probably be on the villain side. But it's a very random announcement, but I'm still, like, excited for it. I imagine it'll be, like, a little, like, Justice League or Justice Society type deal, maybe, unless it's going to be really weird and, like, do side stories, like all of Sarah's stories take place before she died.
Well, then why would... Oh.
Like, instead of it being, like, all these characters teaming up and it being a continuous story, like, every episode would be different. Like, we'd focus on the Atom and then focus on Firestorm, and then you'd have an episode about Sarah and the League of Assassins. Like, it would be, like, a variety show.
I get you.
I don't think that's what they do, though.
Probably not.
But like, I'd love for them to bring back her as Sarah.
I get it. You like her, God.
Yeah, or her third sister, Blaira. Why would it have to rhyme? Damn it, Kyle. Blaira Pants. Why wouldn't you have the same last name? But, I think it'll be good. I kind of wish Firestorming got his own spinoff, and that he had his full self there instead of just the old half. They didn't even get the half with abs.
They didn't even get the hot half.
They're going in the wrong direction that Dino Charge is going in. But I'm looking forward to Shaw getting his own show just because I feel like I'll be able to like him more. Because I was thinking about... Well, I do have a bit of like a hate bias towards Shaw. But one of the problems I think I have with him on Arrow right now is that Arrow has such a large cast in terms of people they can do stuff with. I mean, you have Oliver, and then now we have Laurel as Black Canary, and then you have Arsenal, and then Diggle and Felicity, and then we have the potential for Thea to suit up, and then you have Malcolm Merlyn. So there's already so many people I want focus on that are part of, like, the Arrow circle that it seems weird to have this little Iron Man dude over here. And kind of taking away time, because it's not that I'm not interested in him, because he's done a good job and he's presented himself as likable, but I just need him to be in his own show. Like, I think the way they did Flash was perfect. You brought Barry in for like 2 episodes, you got everyone to like him, and then he went off. I think they should have done something like that with this one, where they brought him in maybe for a few episodes and spun him off instead of having him be like a reoccurring regular. It just kind of takes away from, there's already so much going on, especially with, like, the amount of heroes we have as part of the main team now.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll depend a lot on what happens in the last chunk of the season with this character.
Yeah.
I mean, he could easily have the suit finished and then go, okay, well, bye guys, and, like, fly away or some shit. And
that's
like,
exactly how his exit's going to go.
Not in the rest of the show, so... It's a little difficult to gauge because I honestly don't know how long he's going to be in the show. I assume he's going to leave by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, since he's going to have to spin off. And I imagine at some point Oliver is going to get his company back. The newspaper said it. Yes, he's going to actually rename it Oliver and Company. It's going to be a sitcom now about him and Diggle. Hashtag, what was it, Dolly?
Yes.
The best pairing on Arrow. But I'm anxious to find out more details. Maybe at Comic-Con, that'd be neat. Mm-hmm. Just to sort of clarify what the show is going to be. But I'm just very happy with it just because I love Arrow and Flash, and I'm really eager to see them get their TV universe further expanded.
It's a great little universe.
Yeah. Like, even though there's, you know... Gotham's different and Supergirl's probably different, but and I don't know what's going on with their Teen Titans thing. Regardless, I'm just really excited for how much DC is doing in the TV world right now. It's a good time to be a superhero fan.
It is. There's so much on, and then the Netflix Marvel shows, and Agent Carter was on, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on.
Brian, how did catching up Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. go? You have negative 27 hours to finish it. You're still going to do it?
Something about Sky and Inhumans.
You just kept saying, I can do it. And like, I'm like, he's got negative 27 hours now.
Yep.
Well, now at this point, I just wait until it's over, and then they'll probably put season 2 on Netflix.
Damn it, fuck.
What?
I did not hear the cat jump up on my desk.
Oh.
I just look over and there's just cat there.
I thought you were going to be like, I haven't been recording this whole time. I would have just walked off set. And...
I wouldn't have even told you.
You son of a bitch. I would have just recorded your part later. I would have just snapped together voice snippets from your reviews.
I would have just played you.
But yeah, DC excitement. It's going to be fun. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, unless you're really excited about it, you should probably now just can wait until it's done. Then when it all goes on Netflix, just watch it all.
It's really good. I have it on my DVR. It's not like it's...
Oh, okay. Well, just... I think it's on Hulu. I don't know where the second season is. I don't know how things work. Oh. Neither do I. But I have the one where you can watch it before it goes on Plus, which is what everyone has. So I'm just going to stop talking now. Anyway, watch stuff, things, 100, maybe The Walking Dead. I think Kevin's living it right now. It's so quick, it's unbelievable. But speaking of The Walking Dead, Star Wars Rebels. We talked about it a little bit earlier on the show, like when it was super early in the season, but they just finished their first season, and I thought it finished really strong.
It did. I thought Rebels was a show that started pretty slow, and it didn't quite grab me like some shows do, but I did decide to stick with it. I wasn't really necessarily watching it weekly. I was just kind of DVRing everything and watching it in chunks when I could. But I thought it developed quite well. Between all the characters, and it did end incredibly strong, I think.
Yeah, it really did ramp up throughout the season. Like, I thought it did have a pretty decent start, and some good characters and concepts, but, like, throughout the season, it really steadily built. And the finale, even without some of, like, the big reveals at the end, just the pacing of the finale in the last few episodes was really good, sort of searching for Kanan, and the lightsaber fight with him and the Inquisitor was awesome, and apparently, according to an interview I read, he really is dead. Because with the way he died, it was very ambiguous. He fell into a cloud of yellow smoke. So I assumed he's not dead, but they said in the interview he's dead, which seems really weird. Because especially not only
they made a big deal out of him. Like,
yeah, like he's in all the posters and like all over Walmart and like, once you make it to Walmart, what the hell? But like, it seems so weird to kill off such a major like icon of the new show in the first season. And I really like his lightsaber. It's so cool. But apparently he is dead. I feel like there's still a chance they could be like, "Well, we got you, and he'll still be alive." But they said they wanted it to be like the stakes to be real. The stakes are real, but that's what they said. So I don't know. But still, it was a really awesome fight.
I like how Kanan won just because, like, he shoved his two lightsabers in between prisoners' halves and just went.
Yeah, because he's, you know, being all flashy, like, "Whoa, look at my wall of lightsaber," and then he just like, stupid. Don't pay attention to the tentacles just because they're waving them all in your face trying to get attention.
That can also be said about testicles.
Yes. dear God. You got to fill in for Kevin. It's like, comes right back to that keeper joke. Watch out, Kendall. But anyway, I really like Ezra's lightsaber a lot. I love the idea of a combination blaster lightsaber. And I love that it took the Inquisitor by surprise when, like, Kanan's charging with a lightsaber, and all of a sudden he's like, pew, pew! It was more dramatic
than
that.
Oh, shit.
But I think that's really cool.
Because I want it.
Not yet. There's one of the Inquisitors, but I don't think of Ezra's yet. But that's really cool. Like, between Rebels and then the movie, there's been, like, three really interesting lightsaber designs. Like, we got the one from the movie, which is all, you know, mini little lightsabers on the side that'll cut your hand off if you spin it around. And then the Inquisitor's is just awesome, and Ezra's is pretty innovative too, so I think that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. The two big like reveals at the end were pretty awesome. I mean, I knew Darth Vader was going to be in it. Apparently he's going to have a larger role in the show now. And apparently, I guess his design in the show is sort of based off of some of the original concept art, but I really dig the way his helmet looks in the animation. It's got like a sort of, I don't know, more angular look. It just looks neat.
Yeah.
But he's always been a favorite of mine, so it'll be neat to see him in a bigger role. And I guess there was like a deleted or a extra scene of him in the premiere that they aired it like only on ABC, but I never saw it. But anyway, the bigger thing was Ahsoka is Fulcrum. She's also the Ring and Volkov. She's everyone from Chuck. Chuck was orchestrated by Ahsoka. But it, when that Fulcrum character was like revealed, I was hoping it was her because I couldn't think of who else it could be. Like Obi-Wan's on Tatooine, you know, getting his helmet on. Yoda's also on Dagobah getting his helmet on. So I was really hoping it would be her, and so it was almost expected, but still, like, when she, like, came down the stairs, I was so happy, because her character was, like, so important to the Clone Wars, and, like, she was probably, like, the biggest question in the Clone Wars of, like, what happens to her, and I was so, like, sad when the Clone Wars was canceled early, so we would never get to finish her story, but now we do, so it's really exciting.
Super exciting.
Contain yourself, Brian. Seriously.
Well, I didn't watch Clone Wars, so I'm just yeah. here going, it's that chick from Clone Wars. Yeah.
yeah. But it was still, it's going to be really cool. I mean, there's so many things I tell you to watch, but I recommend that show. It was really good.
I own most of it on DVD, so.
Yeah. It's also on Netflix, like everything. But, yeah, it was really good, and like I was talking to you about before on the call is that, you know, initially it didn't seem like there was much of a reason to watch it because you knew what happened in Revenge of the Sith, but there's elements like that that are introduced to leave you with questions, and since she was Anakin's apprentice, it was really neat that they revealed her at the same time that Vader came down out of the ship.
Yeah.
So I'm
like,
going to
assume... I knew all that, so that was kind of cool. I didn't recognize that. I'm like, they're going to fight at some point, I think.
I thought you were going to say, are they going to fuck? Are we going to fight? Are we going to fuck? What's going to happen? No, but yeah, they're definitely – that'd be such a missed opportunity. Like I read the interview today, the same one where he said – the dude's dead, Inquisitor. He said that one of the things he talked with George Lucas about before he left was like he wanted to know exactly where they wanted to go with Ahsoka and Anakin should he get the chance to use her again. Sounded really gross. But that has such potential because their relationship was one of the biggest parts of the Clone Wars series. And I can't imagine them wasting that. And that should, in addition to everything else Rebel has going for it, that's like one of the most exciting things is that potential of them meeting up and what happens to her in the end. I'm going to assume she dies. But that's definitely going to be really interesting. Because like at the end, her, you mind me spoiling it?
Oh, that's fine.
She was adopted. No, it essentially boils down to she was framed for something, and even though she proved her innocence, she was like very upset with the Jedi Council, and she wound up leaving the Jedi Council, or just being a Jedi, and or how was she? No, she thinks she's still a Padawan, but she left, and like her last scene was just her leaving the Jedi Order, so that's where it was left off. That's why it was so kind of.
So she had a Toodles moment.
Exactly. She was pissed. She said, do this by yourself. Toodles texted Anakin on his Star Wars phone. And all ringtones in Star Wars. And so she left. So. It's not like if you watch it, it'll still be entertaining. But like in a nutshell, she just left the Jedi Order and she walked off.
Walk off.
Walk off. And she did, and that was the last you saw of her. So it was very ambiguous, which had that been the end, it would have been frustrating, but still it was left open in a way that at least wasn't extremely frustrating, like Abe Lincoln statue at the end of 2001 Planet of the Apes frustrating. That was random. But I'm just really happy about it, because I was already really getting into Rebels, and I think it had a lot of potential, but the fact that we might get some closure for some things from the Clone Wars is really neat. I don't think they'll bring in Darth Maul, which was like the other dangling thread. I think they did like a comic book for that or something. I should probably check that out. But his storyline was another major one that was left up in the air. And Bad Kane and his sugar plantation. So watch out. Bad Kane, he makes a mean sugar, episode 8. It's all about him. I think there's some other things too, but I can't recall them.
Bad Kane is an evil version of Mark Wahlberg from the fourth Transformers movie.
True story. That's going to be Transformers 5. New director, new sugar.
Transformers 5, Bad Kane.
Yeah, it's a crossover event. Dear Lord. Crossover. but yeah, it was a strong first season, and I'm looking forward to more of it. Kevin can't even contain himself, which is funny because he probably knows the most about Star Wars out of all three of us.
Oh, well. He'll eventually listen to this episode and then post on Twitter on how we're stupid. So
yeah, like, how dare you, Bad Kane, be disrespected. He's going to talk to that. Bad Kane, be disrespected, man. He's going to be Jamaican after this. Watch out, Twitter. Jamaican Mon 2005 is on the way. Oh, no, wait. Jamaican Mon. Sorry. Want to be reverse racist. But I think that's it for Ramble Time. Honestly, everything's on break. I think Turtles is back this week, so we should have that to talk about.
Yep, we'll have Turtles.
And Turtles?
Yeah.
And Turtles. maybe some more weird DC news, I don't know. But it's not that much longer now that before Arrow and Flash and stuff are back, so that'll be nice. And then we'll hit like a really random drought by the end of the TV season before Falling Skies comes back. All right.
This is our lives.
Yeah, this is our lives. Just stalling for Ramble Time. I get it. No.
What? Yeah.
No. Okay. What? Now it's time for...
Final Things. MP3.
Final Things!
I have a thingy! And it's not final!
It's like the real MP3 is right there. It's just so close. But we can't get it to wake up. The struggle is real.
The struggle is always real.
The struggle is real. No, that didn't work. That joke didn't work on any level.
You don't know my struggle.
Facebook question next week. It'll happen, probably. Unless I forget.
It'll happen, probably, maybe.
That's actually the motto of the Facebook question. I think I've been better about it lately, though. Now that I said that, though, it's probably screwed.
It'll happen, probably. Maybe.
I don't even remember what color I said. Blue. I think. Or is it?
No, you said blue.
Okay.
Blue is what's written in my time stone.
Oh, okay. I left my time stone in the car, so.
Damn it.
Guess that's where it ends.